Hey there, it's Peg. In today's episode of the podcast, we'll take a little break from our usual interviews and conversations. Instead, I want to tell you a story. A story that comes from Sumerian mythology. It's the tale of two sisters who were as different as night and day. The oldest sister was Ereshkigal, goddess of the underworld, and all that lies in darkness and shadow. Inanna was her younger, fairer sister, the goddess of light and queen of the heavens. There was some bad blood between the sisters, as there often is between sisters who are so different. To the point, though, that neither dared step foot into the other's realm. But then, one day, as the story goes, from the great above, Inanna opened her ear to the great below and heard the wails of her sister in mourning. Ereshkigal's husband had died, and Inanna felt her sister's immense grief. And it stirred something within her. Suddenly, Inanna felt a deep yearning to be with her sister, to share this ache, an ache she felt as well. For she missed the sister of her childhood. And she longed to know this woman, born of the same mother, the same father, but now with a chasm so deep and wide between them, she hardly felt related. That said, the idea of visiting the great below filled Inanna with fear. What if Ereshkigal means to do me harm? She thought. After all, her sister is not known for playing by the rules. What if she doesn't allow me to return? Inanna trembles at the thought, but something deep inside urges her on. And so, dressed in her finest clothes, the crown of heaven on her head, beads around her neck, a breastplate, gold bangles on her wrist, and clutching her scepter of power and a map, Inanna begins her journey into known and unknown terrors. However, to reach the underworld, there are seven locked gates, like seven rites of passage, that Inanna must unlock in order to pass through. She quickly comes upon the first gate, and standing tall and proud and confident, Inanna knocks loudly and demands entrance. "Open up, Dorman. Open up this instance. I am Inanna, Queen of Heaven, and I have come to be with my sister." Gatekeeper comes out. He says, looking at her skeptically. Takes a moment, and then replies, "Fine, I'll let you through. But first, you're going to have to give me your crown." Inanna balks wildly, but the gatekeeper cuts her off. "Hush now, Inanna. The ways of the underworld are perfect. Your crown has no influence here." With reluctance, Inanna hands over her crown, but let me tell you, she is not happy about it. And so when she comes to the second gate, she knocks with even more force. "Open up this door now, Dorman. I am Inanna, Queen of Heaven, and I've come to be with my sister." "Goodness gracious," the gatekeeper replies, "hold your horses. Sure, I'll let you through, but you're going to have to leave your scepter of power." Inanna is indignant. "What is this nonsense?" she asks. "Hush now, Inanna," says the gatekeeper. "The ways of the underworld are perfect. And here, you're not in control." The gatekeeper is insistent, and so Inanna hands over her scepter. At the third gate, Inanna decides to use a different tactic. In her now sweetest voice, using her notorious charm, she knocks. "Please open, Mr. Dorman. I am Inanna, Queen of Heaven, and I've come to be with my sister, please."
Oh yes, I heard you were coming," says the gatekeeper. "No problem, I'll let you through. But first, please remove your strands of beads."
"I do not understand," Inanna pleads. "Please, these were expensive." Hush now, Inanna, says the gatekeeper. The ways of the underworld are perfect. And such worldly goods, well, they have no value here. By this time, as you can imagine, as most of us would, Inanna is really beginning to question this journey, especially when at the fourth gate, the gatekeeper tells her she must remove the gold rings from around her wrist. "Surely you don't mean for me to do this," she cries, "for these are symbols of my marriage." The gatekeeper looks at her and says, "Hush now, Inanna. The ways of the underworld are perfect. Societal rules and norms mean nothing here." She removes her rings from around her wrist and wonders, what more should she lose? Well, at the fifth gate, she finds out and is horrified because it's there that the gatekeeper insists she remove her breastplate and leave it behind. This feels like too much. How foolish she was to think she could do this journey, she scolds herself. Despairing, Inanna begins to cry. Hush now, Inanna, the gatekeeper says. The ways of the underworld are perfect. Trust the strength of your heart. Inanna has traveled long and far and feels confused. She's lost. She looks around and nothing is familiar. She wonders if she should go back or continue deeper. But how would she even know the way, she wonders. That's when she remembers her map. And so she opens it up, but sees that at the place where she crossed the threshold, there's a line, and on that line it is written, "Beyond this place, there be dragons." It's then she realizes her map is useless here. It knows nothing of this strange dark land. In frustration, she crumples it up and throws it on the ground. But at the moment the map leaves her clutches, it is then that the sixth gate magically opens. So here she is, and Inanna is now approaching the final gate. She's lost her crown, her beads, her scepter. Her breastplate has been removed, and her mat is in tatters. All that's left is her royal robe, which she pulls tightly around her body as if to hide inside it. Timidly, she knocks on the seventh gate. Please, please open. My name is Inanna. All I want is to be with my sister. Of course, says the gatekeeper. Of course I will let you through. Just, and I really do hate to ask this of you, but you're going to have to remove your robe. But then I'll be naked, Inanna cries. And the gatekeeper reassures, hush now, Inanna. The ways of the underworld are perfect. You need nothing here. Inanna crosses the final threshold, now fully exposed, completely vulnerable. She has been stripped bare of all that she was, all that she has, and all that she ever knew. She hears Ereshkigal's cries and follows them to her chambers, and realizes then that hers are not the cries of grief, but of labor. Ereshkigal is giving birth. Forgetting her nakedness, forgetting her fear, Inanna rushes forward to be with her sister, but is immediately stopped by the underworld's guards before she can reach her. Halt! No one may enter except through death. This is the way of the underworld. There is no other. And so it is. Inanna is sentenced to death. And after her body hung on a hook for the 3 days it takes Ereshkigal to give birth. Meanwhile, Mourners gather and weep at the loss of their once beautiful, powerful goddess. A few of the gods try to work their magic and bring Inanna back to life, but to no avail. Only Ereshkigal can wake one from death. On the third day after she's given birth, Ereshkigal goes to Inanna's dead body, her quest now complete. And with that knowledge, she breathes upon her sister new life. Nana opens her eyes as if waking from a dream, but feeling this aliveness, something she'd never felt before. Still naked, but no longer vulnerable or scared or even noticing. And it is Ereshkigal's face she first sees, and in it recognizes herself, two halves of the same whole. And she feels comforted by this realization. Within it is a freedom she's never known before. On the journey back to the great above, Ereshkigal accompanies Inanna. And as they pass through the now open gates, she asks her sister if there's anything she'd like to take back, anything she'd like to reclaim. "No, sister," says Inanna. "I know now who I am. And this knowledge is powerful enough." The story is called The Descent of Inanna. And there are lots of versions. This one was just mine. In fact, one could say that in Chapter 2 of the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali begins with a telling of his own. The title of the chapter is Sadhanapada, the part on practice. And practice is our journey of descent. Like Inanna's, ours begins by opening our ear to what's below, to what's inside us, to the voice that we know and always is there, always speaks to us, but in a whisper can be so easily drowned out and ignored. And so it begins to cry out in suffering. And it is grief that we feel, the loss of someone we barely remember, the person of our childhood, our original self, the one that we now keep covered under mistaken identities, misguided beliefs, worldly enmeshments, and a deep-seated fear. You know, one way to interpret the story is that the sisters are actually the same person, that through Inanna's journey into the darkness, into the shadow, that this is how she becomes whole. Anyway, ours is ultimately an 8-part path, an ascent as well as a descent. But first, like Inanna, down we must go, journey into the depths of known and unknown terrors, unlock the gates by removing our crowns, our jewels, our armor, releasing our need for certainty and control, and even outside acceptance, and ultimately surrendering our power to one greater than our own. Patanjali calls this Kriya Yoga, and it is our call to action. This quest for truth that begins Chapter 2. In Course 2 of our year-long immersion into the Yoga Sutras, we will be diving deep into the second chapter, the chapter on practice, which is, for most of us, where our journey begins. And so even if you missed the first course on Chapter 1, this is still a really great place to join us. Maybe even the most perfect place, actually. The learning is broken down into 3 self-paced, really easy to follow learning modules. And at the end of each one, we'll have a live gathering to discuss further. Now, you should know that this is not an academic study. It's more for those interested in learning yoga philosophy in a way that is understandable, enjoyable, relatable. And if that sounds like you, then we invite you to check out this course and all of our other online courses. go to ashtangadispatch.com and click on the path to learn more.
And hey, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the story. And if you did, let me know. Send me a message on Instagram or not on Facebook because I'm hardly ever on Facebook. Send me a message on Instagram at ashtangadispatch.com. Let me know if you like the story. Maybe share it with your friends or share it there on social media. But if it is something that you enjoy, we'd love to include more of this storytelling in our podcasts. In the meantime, we do have 2 more episodes we've already recorded that are on their way to you in the next month. So stay tuned and look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks again.